like to be thrown off your ancestral land.
I would like to also express that the Hopi tribe is telling the whole world on the Associated Press that it is only a handful of people with their mission being threatened with relocation, but then as for an elder under that category, I'm an elder and I'm a grandparent and I'm a mother and so forth. So we have our children that are not being counted as being under the same category as I am, because I have children, grandchildren, and we have future generations. So these people are not counted and they end up landless if we, the elders, are relocated, and all our family, extended family, are going to be landless, and this is why we feel we need to be here for the survival of the Navajo people. And we want to also mention that there's educated people that are our relatives, you know, on the Hopi side, which are pushing for the relocation of the Navajo people. We feel that they are disseminating false information towards the people that are being affected here at Big Mountain. And we want to bring across that the real traditional Hopis do not intend for the relocation of the neighbors, and that why are all these assimilated Hopi tribal councils trying to do away with our human rights as to being descendants of that nation?
Scott, as we're in the year 2000, more intent. No matter what it takes, they're using armed rangers, helicopters, overflights, and everything, and no matter what it takes, they want to get in here and get to the coal. But the global public and concerned people around the world are standing strong with the elders' courage to protect their way of life and their future generations' rights to be here. So I'm kind of in the middle between the corporation's interest, and I, of course, stand up for the Weaving for Freedom participants. And it's become risky business, and I guess they now are intent upon destroying their own business and telling them they can't have, you know, helpers or workers or family or friends here. So it's years ago when two white people were trying to protect the Hopi traditional education, and they were resisting the missionaries. And they were excluded in the late 1800s. So this is, my lawyer says that if they can get the Weaving Collective out of the way, then the corporation will come in and take over. So the weavers, I just met with them yesterday. They're very clear and strong that they have a right to be here. They have a right to carry on this endangered, traditional, very sacred way of life. And I've been honored to work with them.
How would people support your project?
Well, there's quite a few different ways. I mean, one of the ways is to do rug shows in their areas. We move the weavings all over the country, and people buy the rugs, and 90% of the rug sale money goes directly to the weavers. So people could set up rug shows in their areas. I would encourage people to come here to the anime camp and help, you know, gather wood and chop wood for the elders in the winter. Maybe bring
what about
food and
other countries
supplies.
And other places in the United States?
Oh, it's been tremendous. And you know the thing?
Actually, Arlene Hamilton died last year, so I think the number she's going to give, weavingfree.org, has been changed. And I'm not sure where the new place is. Actually, there's a 707 number I'm desperately looking through.
I'm sure that's no longer active.
This is so important. Tony Serra is appealing my exclusion order in a higher court, and he said if we have to take it to federal court, we will. We'll have a jury there. But if he said if we have to go all the way to Supreme Court, we will, because I'm in trouble for putting up two teepees for an educational camp last summer, and I've put up educational camps here for 18 years and never was stopped or anything, and I faced armed rangers 15 times in helicopters for a week over the teepees.
And speaking of teaching and stuff, there's a convergence at 3 o'clock tomorrow. Anyway, tomorrow's the day when the Not In Our Name folks are calling for a walkout and everything like that. And so, you know, the Bart Powell and Marketplace where we all go and march around in a circle and chat. Okay.
We're weaving and teaching their grandchildren this ancient art. So they're getting more intent upon getting to this area. At the same time, I feel that solidarity is building amongst the support networks around the world, and people are uniting. We are pinpointing Lehman Brothers, which owns Peabody Coal Company, and we have begun a phone mobilization to them in New York to request that all harassment stop, and that this area be protected from mining, and that it be protected as a National Historic Cultural Preservation Site.
And Lehman Brothers, are they just in New York?
They're in New York. They're an investment corporation that holds the Teachers Pension Fund of America. And people should know, you know, teachers should check into this. Where are their pension funds being held? And they want to put pressure on these corporations.
The South African
to protect human rights and religious freedom rights. Yes.
Was supported by the teachers in the UC administration.
It's right for the teachers in all the schools to unite and make a statement to Lehman Brothers that they do not want to be any part of genocide or any part of, you know, destroying a very sacred area and, you know, harming endangered people in America within the U.S. borders. This is going on.
Thank you, Arlene Hamilton, coordinator of the Dene Altis Weaving Project.
Good to be here. a song for you now. It's we rarely play this one, but we're going to play it on this show tonight. This is from the Wildflowers album, and it's called Crawling Back to You.
Indigenous David eat no Joe Egot Aben Nihinata Iliadole Nihinabe Iliadon Hitzahatsen Iliadole Even Hajin Badi Korn Belash Latin Law de Korn Nihidanadan Law de Korn Between Cleesden Law de Kobahas Zito Tedesinibi at El de Kornano Nane Katonao Deto de Ashonish Tradi in Law Kudoe de Korn Beat Ehon, he came long in Halchin, Yanelakin, he talk, eh, Altsko, did said his in Badi Yard, by Slado, let us show this at Hart in long. Could International Indian Treaty Council, Otto, Deco Indians of all tribes, American Indian Movement, United Native Americans, Dal Yell, Edico, and hit the net on long, Edico, and Das Bar, Edico, did Jin Deco. Nihinelakin, it's okay that a Standing Rock, North Dakota, a good a Tropa, a good a Deed said is an edico, Nihinelakin, it's okay, Bahas, see the butcher they send all it, I show this shit hot in long. Could I be out there?
دیکان زرزنین خواهین لارو و کان خواهین لارو لیر آشون رشد خواهین لو خواه آشد آهنه آهنه ها کنس بهجون اسلی بهجون اسلی بهجون اسلی بهجون اسلی هاو بطاقی آسین I want to just share that prayer, asking the spirits from the east, the south, the west, the north, Mother Earth, Grandfather, the essence in these values and these beliefs, that we continue to be strong that way, and asking the spirits to be with us today, tomorrow, and the future generation. A special prayer was made to all our brothers and sisters and relatives that were at Standing Rock, the new generation. We started here on Alcatraz, 1969, 1970, Pitt River, the BIA takeover, Raymond Yellow Thunder, Wounded Knee, Longest Walk, and it continues. Places like Gordon, Nebraska, Farmington, New Mexico, Gallup, New Mexico, Flagstaff, Arizona, Rapid City, places like that where the struggle continues.
People of the world, led by indigenous people, is what we're confronting now, because what they have done is they've mounted a series of criminal prosecutions, both state and federal, against the indigenous people here in North Dakota that are the Lakota people of the Great Sioux Nation, who have stood up and stood in the way of this pipeline. They have been massively arrested. 843 of these people have been arrested, and they're being subjected to criminal prosecutions. The Water Protectors Legal Collective, which is made up primarily of National Lawyers Guild lawyers who've come in to volunteer their services, have succeeded in defeating 415 of these cases. Now, they've either gotten them summarily dismissed, they've gotten them acquitted, they've gotten the people to be given deferred sentences, or they've diverted them into a program where they're not going to be criminally prosecuted anymore because they know they can't convict them. But there are still 323 cases in which they're still continuing to prosecute these people. And there are five of those cases that are federal cases that have been brought on by the Jeff Sessions Justice Department under Trump. But the other 320 or so are state prosecutions. Now, that's one whole wing of what they're doing, is trying to prosecute those people who tried to stop the pipeline. The second front they've opened now, they have filed federal racketeering charges against the entire environmental community, including the law offices that are protecting the Native people. The Energy Transfer Partners Corporation, a partner of whom was Donald Trump, and another one whom was Rick Perry, that corporation, the Energy Transfer Partner Corporation, they have filed a Federal Racketeering Act lawsuit.
Oh, boy. What fun. Because that lets me call this RICO slapback. The strategic lawsuit against public participation is what you would call suing, like, media organizations and legal defense organizations and everybody like that. Well, then there's the natural countersuit, and of course, energy partners with Trump on board, well, the racketeer influence corrupt organization is obvious. We were talking about Lehman Brothers. Of course, they were taking down George Herbert Walker, cousin of the Jim Crow coup front perps, said, "What have you been smoking down there?" When the lawyers said, "Nobody will give us their money if the presidents take all the money home." After Drone Bomber came in, there was the great bank robbery of 08. So let us look at these racketeer influenced corrupt organizations. Remember, Lehman Brothers was the antebellum, means that it profit derived from slavery so that you would have restitution. That $1 trillion could go to the descendants of American slaves. Back to Danny Sheehan. Once upon a time, May 30th, 1984, the bombing of attempt on Commander Zero that had snuck 20 people in and taken Somoza's son hostage. the traitor, okay, but he quits the CIA, and the day of the bombing, the headline, the simultaneous with the bombing is the headline that he's out of the war on the Nicaraguans. But out of that bombing, Danny Sheehan defended the journalist Tony Avergan, Martha Honey, Jose Kirjo's film bombing. He was the American, he was the journalist, the cameraman who filmed the bombing was killed by it. In Washington, they immediately blamed the murder of Linda Frazier. The American journalist took 5 hours to bleed to death because it's way out in the middle of the jungle, in the middle of the border area. But the son of Arturo Cruz in the State Department of Public Policy is immediately announcing Lujua Gorostiola, this Basque separatist. Now, of course, there's all this going on in Catalan. I don't have time to get into that. With the fires, there's also a little to talk about. I heard he's getting too excited and was pulled back from throwing dirt on the fire we had started, and I don't know, they say safety first all the time. Well, when we had our safety break, every person on the 20-man crew would have a puff of my corncob guy pipe with a purple kush, but no, they're so miserable, cowardly, they're not even sticking their necks out. It's like, it makes me shame to see. Was it you can walk for half a dozen miles, a good day hike across this burned area, and you're just going to turn it all over to the... It's like when they do a... They lay the fire out in strips so all the living creatures don't have a chance to escape. Anyway, 2 weeks later, after I was pulled back from throwing dirt on the fire we had started, they were cutting down the timber where it had jumped the line overlooking Yellow Jacket Ridge, a dozen miles up from Forks of the Salmon. So this is what's going on. The protection racketeers aren't going to let you go out with your shovel and throw dirt on that fire. You could be walking along that line, creeping down the hill, just stopping it. Now, that's a very dangerous place to be because rocks and logs will come rolling down at you. But, of course, you don't want to be on a fire going uphill, okay? Now, there's a time when the temperature changes, and as it blows uphill, as it gets warm, and then it cools down, you're going to have those downdrafts. But and the fire makes its own weather. All that stuff, you know. You march along the tops of the ridge, you take a shovel, and you throw the dirt down on the fire. Anyway, you don't need the protection racketeers, and they can't tell you you have to leave your home. So just stand there with your shovel. If you run out of water, you just throw dirt on it. You got to have some air available. Now, I've rolled up the windows in my van for 2 hours so that we could drive down into Contra County and not have to breathe the toxic air. So I imagine similar issues would prevail. But
under the Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organization Act, a federal statute charging Greenpeace, Earth First, Earth Justice, which is the former legal wing of the Sierra Club, who are actually that office, Earth Justice, is representing the Great Sioux Nation, actually specifically the Standing Rock Sioux Reservation, in the federal district court in Washington, D.C., trying to get the law, the environmental protection law, applied here in North Dakota to show that they're not allowed to build and complete this pipeline and to go forward with pumping oil through this pipeline without first having conducted a full Environmental Protection Act, Policy Act survey, which they've never done. So that there's every effort made to invoke the law as it presently exists to protect the environment that's being mounted by these law firms. But now the Energy Transfer Partner Corporation has lodged a civil complaint against them in federal court, charging them with being a criminal racketeering organization, asserting that they are engaged in wire fraud and mail fraud, which are predicate acts of the Racketeering Act, by sending out information about the Energy Transfer Partners and the Dakota Access Pipeline, which are lies and therefore constitute fraud, trying to defraud their funders, the thousands of people who are funding Greenpeace and Earth Justice and the other major environmental groups. The bizarre situation is that the bad guys, the Energy Transfer Partners Corporation, is asserting that the funders are being defrauded by Greenpeace and the other.
And let me just jump in here. And ultimately, ultimately, it's the indigenous communities who are standing peacefully, and they're saying those who tried to defend them, their peaceful, their right to resist peacefully an ongoing genocide, they're facing major criminal charges.
That's right. Major criminal charges and a major federal civil lawsuit invoking the power of these new right-wing judges that have been put in place, invoking their assistance in trying to prosecute the environmental groups that were spreading the word around the world about what was happening here. Greenpeace and Earth Justice and Earth First and Democracy Now! They have included, as part of the racketeering enterprise, Democracy Now! For publicizing what was going on here.
That's funny.
Saying that these were lies. And they charged them with committing defamation. They're libeling, they said they're being libeled and slandered by all the environmental protection groups by accusing them of putting a pipeline into sacred native territory.
They told the dogs to attack the peaceful resistors, right?
Yes, they stick the dogs on them. They stick the dogs on them, and then they fire hosed them in 20-degree weather. They tasered them. They maced them. They threw concussion grenades into the crowd. You know, and it's all on videotape. And when Greenpeace and Democracy Now! And the other 501c3 public interest environmental groups, you know, publicize this, they've now been accused of libeling the Energy Transfer Partners in sending the libels in over the internet, interstate travel and interstate communications, making it a federal racketeering violation. This is the most absurd situation in development, but we have to stand and protect the people. And they have also named the Red Warrior Society, a group of Native American people here that were involved in the protest. The Energy Transfer Partners have named them as a terrorist organization, saying that they were engaged in militant opposition to the pipeline, and that makes them eco-terrorists, which makes them terrorists. And they were characterizing the Native American people, catch this, characterizing them in a public diplomacy campaign, which they called it, or a social engagement plan, where they were writing up fake news and sending it to all of the local news channels and newspapers throughout the state, accusing them of being anti-Christian, religiously driven, indigenous, jihadist terrorists.
A good place to segue to the Moon of Alabama spokesman for Russia's defense ministry said on Wednesday that a series of attacks launched by Islamic State in Syria on government forces had come from an area near the border with Jordan where a U.S. military mission was located. Major General Igor Konashenkov said in a statement the attackers had the precise coordinates of the Syrian government forces, which could only have been obtained through aerial reconnaissance. Konashenkov accused the U.S. of flirtation with terrorists and warned that should similar happen again, Russia will take severe countermeasures. While these accusations fly and the relation between U.S. and Russian continues in Syria further deteriorates, Russian diplomacy is winning the day. Putin visited Turkey, same time Egyptian chief of intelligence was also in Ankara, visiting Damascus a few days later. Yesterday, Saudi king arrived in Moscow, and meanwhile, Erdogan touched down in Tehran, an unusual atmosphere. Instead of reporting on diplomacy and the increasing chances of a military conflict between superpowers in Syria, U.S. media asked if Secretary of State Tillerson called President Trump a moron or a fucking moron. For the record, NBC journalist who overheard Tillerson outburst says it was fucking moron. So since World War III coverage is getting distracted by these words, let's run them down.
Raunchy, rude, crude, lewd, lascivious, indecent, profane, obscene, blue, off color, risque, suggestive,
cursing, cussing, swearing, and all I could think of was shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, and tits.
That's all I hear.
Shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, and tits. That was my original list. I knew it wasn't complete, but it was a starter set, you know?
So, let's not get distracted by the F word. Okay, two buys. Let's keep our eye on the ball here. And basically, that is it. Aliens have landed. Don't panic. You may be one. We don't need a bunch of panicked aliens running around. Their god turns water into wine, and drinking lots of which, they proceed to kill those who do believe. They also kill those who do not believe. They also kill those who do, but never mind.
They were profiling the native people as terrorists, as jihadist terrorists, being driven by their radical anti-Christian religious beliefs, i.e. their traditional spiritual beliefs that they were practicing peacefully, sitting across the fence line from the barbed wire fence line, having their simple traditional religious ceremony.
More than 100 wedding revelers died in a village in eastern Afghanistan after an attack by B-52 and B-13 bombers. May 17, 2002, Khost Province, Afghanistan. 10 Afghans in a wedding ceremony died when U.S. helicopters and planes attacked a village. July 1, 2002. Orazan Province, Afghanistan. 40 wedding celebrants died when they were attacked by B-52 bombers and an AC-130 gunship. May 20th, 2004, on Mashhad, Iraq. 42 civilians died, including family members hosting the wedding ceremony, their wedding guests, and even the band of musicians hired to play at the wedding, attacked by American jets. July 6, 2008, Nangarhar Province, Afghanistan. 47 died, 39 of them women and children, including the bride, during a party escorting the bride to the groom's house from a missile attack by U.S. jet aircraft. August 2008, Langham Province, Afghanistan. 16 people were killed, including 12 members of a family hosting a wedding in an attack by American bombers. December 12, 2013, Hellfire missiles were fired at a wedding procession of 11 vehicles in Rada'a, southern Yemen, killing men and wounding 15 others. May 2013, U.S. ground forces and aircraft fired on a wedding party of 42 people. 42 people died, including 15 children and 10 women. June 8, 2012, in Leghar province, Afghanistan, when the Taliban fighters took shelter in the middle of a wedding party, 18 people were killed, half of them children. It was the only case among 8 wedding dronings in which the U.S. offered an apology.
I should say this is Anne Wright's video from October 6th when it was live, and she's going to be at St. John's College in Forest and Gerber at, 5:30 or something. Dinner starts. Go to their website for when you can help Food Not Bombs there, but that's Wednesdays and Thursdays. This is going to be Sunday, October 15th. And I'll go back to Anne Wright video.
How about read it again? Just read them all over again.
December 29th, 2001.
I guess she's repeating the list.
Afghanistan.
Anyway, they're blocking the Creech Air Force Base lately, so. I think.
And now we're walking up to the.
Oh, hold it. Shut up, Greg.
Bride's wedding party that's walking down toward the groom's wedding party and a reenactment of a wedding ceremony, one of which are many that have been droned and people killed in Afghanistan, in Yemen, in Pakistan. And here's the bride's wedding party coming to the...
Oh, I have to sample... Julian is mad at Amy, and he's talking about the stupid mobs in the Russia, neo-McCarthy Russia bashing that are pushing us to World War III and pushing all of this. but back to
the wedding, and here we are at Creech Drone Base, where the assassin drones are. The trainers, the pilots, are being trained to kill people all over the world with our assassin drones. And as our drone pilots create havoc all over the world and kill innocent groups of civilians, our group is reenacting a tragic incident that has occurred. So we will first have the wedding ceremony with the bride's group coming down to the groom's group.
Publications prior to this year that we've done a few, and this year as well. So it's deeply humiliating for the CIA in front of other intelligence agencies that it has to deal with and with the FBI to be perceived as incompetent in that way, it is dangerous.
Were you surprised to hear the Trump administration attacking you? This is Pompeo. Now, of course, Trump also attacks his own people and has different points of view on issues like Rex Tillerson, who he's supposedly having lunch with, who supposedly called him a moron. At least he said Tillerson did not deny that he had done this. So do you think that Pompeo and Trump disagree? Trump talked about loving WikiLeaks when he was on the campaign trail as he was talking about calling for the release of email.
Well, everyone loves WikiLeaks when we're publishing information about those that they politically oppose. That's inevitable. And when we start publishing information about, Trump's CIA, of course, the attitude changes.
Do you understand if there is still a grand jury open that is weighing your case in the United States? And for people who haven't followed the case for 5.5 years,
The U.S. government and the U.K. government behave as if there is a sealed indictment in terms of their refusal to talk about it, their interactions with our lawyers, and so on. So they either have one or they have a virtual one.
Do you see yourself?
The grand jury has been expanded now from our war crimes publications about Iraq and Afghanistan, the ones that are alleged to have been associated with Chelsea Manning, to now include the CIA publications.
I want to get your opinion on all of the news that's breaking right now. On Monday, Google said suspected Russian agents paid for tens of thousands of dollars worth of political advertisements last year aimed at swaying the 2016 presidential election. Managers at Microsoft said Monday they too were investigating whether Russian operatives paid for inappropriate pro-Trump ads on its Bing search engine and other platforms. Republican Senator Richard Burr said his committee is still examining evidence to determine if there's any collusion. Response to all of this, WikiLeaks editor-in-chief Julian Assange.
Well, I think there's a very good article recently published in The Nation which goes through all of that, and it's shown to be nearly all fiction. The parts that you can actually determine where you can compare with internally contradictory statements or other things shows that it's nearly all fiction. Whether there's any truth to it, I don't know. We haven't researched that. I would say that I think it's very concerning to see this neo-McCarthyist hysteria, very, very dangerous in geopolitical terms. And, of course, its attempt to, to unite the Democratic Party, CIA structures together and the media in their assault against the Trump regime. But I think there's plenty of important things to criticize the Trump administration about. For example, their promises to help the working class, but in fact trying to push forward enormous tax cuts for the rich, and that these are the things that should be concentrated on, not leaping into an insane bout of anti-Russian hysteria.
Julian Assange, I wanted to ask you about Roger Stone.
Roger Stone has been trolling Democrats all his life, and he's doing exactly the same thing in order to elevate his profile. That's all. You can look at our statements at the time. He didn't say anything that I hadn't been saying in public at the time.
So let me turn to Democratic Congressman Adam Schiff speaking at a hearing.
The effectiveness of that trolling just shows you how mad the U.S. political culture has become. Is Roger Stone presented as a credible character in his statements? Is that a credible person? Do Democrats think that he's credible?
Well, I think the issue is his closeness to Trump and whether or not you think Trump or Roger Stone is credible.
Look, he's if he had something to worry about, why would he be deliberately playing it up constantly? He doesn't have anything to worry about. That's why he's playing it up.
What do you mean?
He doesn't have anything to worry about because there is no back channel. There was never a back channel. We've said at the time, he's produced no evidence of it. We've complained about it. He's simply trolling the absolute, they want to be trolled. They don't care. They don't care what the truth is at all.
So
all they want is some little propaganda point that they can use to somehow satisfy their ridiculous fantasies about taking down Trump in relation to Russia. And if Roger Stone is going to help with that, they will give him a massive platform. And that's exactly what they've done. He sold a lot more books as a result. I mean, you have to admire the chutzpah and the cleverness at which he's done it. It's in some sense admirable. What is not admirable, even though it's really irritated us, is the slavish reaction of those. He just throws a ball like that, and these mindless mobs of people aligned to the Democrats and the democratically aligned media in the United States run after it and eventually over the cliff.
Well, let me turn to Democratic Congressman Adam Schiff's Adam Schiff of the House Intelligence Committee, ranking Democrat.
Well, Schiff is not a credible person. He's just lying in order to, score political points. I had been saying all these things publicly, that we were going to publish information on Hillary Clinton before the election.
So this is,
and the media got it into its stupid head. In fact, that we were going to publish it on October 4th, and that spread around everywhere. And so Roger Stone's comments are responding to that kind of thing. But I don't want to feed into. I mean, I understand that there's a weird psychological phenomenon happening in the United States presently, but I don't want to feed into it because I think it's essentially inconsequential in historical circumstances unless it leads to a war with Russia. I mean, I don't know what the Trump's campaign's connections are with Russia. I can only speak about us. Had no connections with us. We have no connections with Russia. So I think it's, and I think if the Russians have done anything else, as far as I can see, it's not of a consequential nature.
But so, Julian, this is the end.
Maybe some will come out, but as far as I can determine, not that I'm spending a lot of time on it, as far as I can determine, there's nothing of any scale or significance.
But this is the anniversary of the email being released, the John Podesta emails. And I think it's important because what's happening in these congressional investigations, Roger Stone is a key figure, whether you think he's credible or not.
And of course, on Dixiocracy Now, it's going to be all about Stone or that gun-clutching, immigrant-bashing little dick Alex. But it's not about the assassination campaigns being funded by the election campaign donor, these Saudis. That's what it's about.
Not to have you respond to make your point. I wanted to play Roger Stone. Let me just play, and you respond to Roger Stone. Let me just play two quick clips. August 8th, this is him speaking in Florida.
In regard to the October...
Julian?
Well, as you said, he just said that they were pertaining to the Clinton Foundation, which he was wrong. He's just repeating what I said in the press.
Uh-huh.
But they're not repeating what I said, she is not inviting him to talk about her complicity in the assassination campaign, the Arab Sting, 2010, Operation Southern Mistral, NATO practicing up for drone bombing my stunt dumble.
So then, more recently, let's turn to Roger Stone speaking to reporters following his appearance in this closed hearing of the House Intelligence Committee. His interview with lawmakers was part of the investigation into Russia's meddling in the 2016 election. He told reporters he declined to name his WikiLeaks intermediary.
The reason I am not intermediate is a journalist, and our conversation...
Now, of course, Roger Stone isn't a journalist, but what is your response to what he's saying right here, that there was an intermediary between you and him who was a journalist?
The United States political culture has gone mad. Roger Stone is trolling epically the Democratic political class in order to elevate his profile, and it's sad to see that Democracy Now! Is buying into it.
Presenting the news is not buying into it. Look, Amy,
I'm getting annoyed. There is a historic event occurring this afternoon involving Catalonia that could well change the nature of Europe, what forms of repression are acceptable within the Western world.
Oh, yeah. Now, I haven't heard mention Fraga. Fraga was in the running when Zapatero was elected in the middle of the Madrid bombing. Now, the Spaniards proved they weren't as stupid as the Americans that reelected the Jim Crow frontman with traitor Kerry. Oh, actually, I was stupid giving agency to voters or even candidates under the FRAC 3/5 black bloc's voting system here.
And what moves populations can take in order to resist repression and come together to secure their self-determination. This has been the greatest Gandhian project that has occurred. Millions of Catalonians turning out to vote in the street, being beaten aggressively by Spanish security forces, being hacked by Spanish security forces, having their telephone exchange occupied, having their political leadership arrested, being threatened, as we saw today, with rebelling and put in prison for a minimum of 25 years. That is going to spread throughout the Western world. The lessons of this are going to spread throughout the Western world to, yes, to secessionist movements, but also to the states trying to repress them and to repress people's struggles for self-determination in general. The discipline with which the Catalan population have carried out their referendum is astounding. Astounding that millions of people going to the polls, being beaten by the police, and not one image of them fighting back. Not one image. That's incredible discipline. It's similarly in the marches and so on. And if the US left is not absolutely obsessed with what is happening there and the redefinition that is occurring of the nature of the relationship between population and state, well, I mean, I have no time for you.
Well, we certainly had time for you today, Julian, and I think you made some really critical points, and they're important. And I wanted to end on an issue that I also think that you care about, and that's the issue of, well, Chelsea Manning is out of jail, and Chelsea Manning was a very important figure for you, and you campaigned for her release. I wanted to end by asking you about Reality Winner. Last Thursday, a federal judge denied a second request for bail for Myers, Edward Snowden, and Julian Assange. We just lost the video of Julian, but I think we still have audio. And Julian, I was wondering if you can respond to the judge. We have your audio.
So your question was about that bail was denied to Reality Winner, partly under the basis that she is alleged to have said, I believe to her sister on Facebook, that she supported Edward Snowden, me, and WikiLeaks. Is that correct?
Yes, the judge talking about her admiration of Edward Snowden and Julian Assange.
Yeah, I mean, it's a political decision by the judge. I she has been treated absolutely appallingly, and her alleged act is very minimal. One alleged document, which she unfortunately said sent to a distrustworthy or incompetent journalist at the Intercept. She is not a whistleblower. She is not a leaker or a whistleblower who has access to power. And so as a result, we see what happens to her. She goes to prison where, in pretrial detention, it's clearly not of harm to anyone. It's come out that the FBI faked a transcript of hers where she said she had acquired more than one document. It turns out that was fake, and they've used that to keep her in prison.
Well, Julian Assange, I want to thank you very much for being with us, founder-in-chief of WikiLeaks, more than 50. I want to thank you so much for joining us. Julian Assange joins us from the Ecuadorian embassy, where he has taken asylum, had political asylum from Ecuador for the last 5.5 years.
Causing the degeneration of Europe and the destruction of Europe and the xenophobic, alt-right, militant parochials that are calling for the disbandment of the European Union.
Yeah, that's true. You're taking on right now the deep establishment and
institutions, and of course all that manifests itself in terms of personalities. But allow me to be more specific. Ever since financialization took over, beginning in Wall Street and then infecting Europe, the banks of Frankfurt, the banks of Paris in particular, and of course the city of London, the banking sector of Europe went berserk. You folks in the United States have every reason to be cross with Wall Street and the way that they tanked your economy in 2008 through their inane handling of their own affairs. But let me tell you that European bankers are 50 times worse than American bankers, if you can even begin to wrap your mind about that, around that proposition.
50 times, that's quite a bit.
Yeah, it is astonishing. Let me give you an example, right? Wall Street accounts for about 40% of your economy. Their openings, their asset books, are about 40% of the American economy. Deutsche Bank, just one bank in Germany, is 50 times the GDP of Germany. Add to that, I think, a very flexible institution compared to the European Central Bank in America, because whatever one may think about American capitalism, at least its stalwarts, its managers are very pragmatic people. When a massive crisis like that of 2008 takes place, they take a lot of the rubbish on the books of the banks, the Wall Street banks, and they transfer it onto the books of the Fed and then forget it there, allowing the archaeologists of the future to discover the stuff. And in the context of that conversation, the insider outside the story, which I believe is something that Larry has a tendency to share with many newcomers to the political scene, was in effect a question that he was putting to me. He was saying to me, look, I'm here to help you, but before I try to do so, I need some information about you. Are you an insider or an outsider, so that I know how to deal with you?
And how did you respond to him?
I said that, look, allow me to be frank. I've always been an outsider in my life, but now I'm the finance minister of Greece, and I'm prepared to do whatever it takes to be an insider if this means getting our country out of debtor's prison. I'm not sure he was very pleased with that answer, because it was clear that from it that I was not a dedicated insider, which of course he is. But he went along with that, and then he helped me. I have to say that Larry Summers did what he could to assist our struggle for effectively what it was common sense.
Well, was he speaking a truth about nature of power, one that people are, I don't know, trapped in, maybe?
He was describing fully and accurately how power works. That does not mean that his description is valid deontologically in terms of how power should be. The fact that power is the way that Larry Summers described it to me is the reason why our societies and our regimes, both in the United States of America and in Europe, are degenerating so much so that we can have somebody like Donald Trump in the White House.
Tell me about that dynamic. How is it that you have outsiders? Is it because Donald Trump is an outsider? Or how do you say
he's
that?
Well, allow me to just to speak to Larry Summers' connection with all this for a second. Larry Summers was the man who, as the U.S. Treasury Secretary, unleashed the financial sector from all its obligations that it used to have under the New Deal programs. It was in the last year of Bill Clinton's term, under Larry Summers, that the financial genie was let out of the bottle completely, and it wreaked havoc. And when the pyramids of toxic private money that the financiers created collapsed under their own hubris, it was the little people that suffered massively. And then Obama comes in with huge expectations by the little people. And what does he do? He takes Larry Summers and reappoints him, as you said in the introduction, and along with Tim Geithner. And of course, the first thing that Summers and Geithner did was to look after Wall Street and to do whatever it takes in order to salvage the banks, not their victims. And lo and behold, after a few years of this, the little people will rebel. And when polling day comes, they ask themselves in their majority, whom can we vote for to piss off the establishment, if you will excuse my French?
It's been now a couple of years since you resigned as finance minister of Greece. Do you have a different perspective than you did at that moment? Do you see things differently, or have they evolved, or what has that process been like?
Well, let me just close out with UBS scandal, 9/11, Obama, and Obama's bloody hands. There was the judge rejecting leniency for the UBS whistleblower. That was before Lucifer's banker, Bradley Birkenfeld, thing. But after Phil Graham left the Senate, he went to work for UBS. When UBS ran into heavy losses, he left with a $30 million package. The U.S. subprime and global financial crisis of 2008 was a result of policy implemented by the U.S. financial institution caretakers of the World War II Black Eagle Gold Fund. Reagan-Bush administration outed Ferdinand Marcos,
confiscated the Philippine holdings of Japanese pre-World War II treasury buried in the Philippines. Not being able to publicly acknowledge the illegal confiscation of multiple national treasuries, U.S. officials and their banker agents have released major portions of this fund, expanding the money supply by 3.5 to 7 trillion. Of course, Summers was the defendant in Howe's gold antitrust action lawsuit. The George H.W. Bush and Alan Greenspan funded a covert operation in 91 in the range of $241 billion. One of those insiders was, well, anyway, there were 10-year bonds that became due September 12th, so the day before. Cantor Fitzgerald and Marsh McLennan were the first target, second target, the FBI, and Office of Naval Intelligence looking into the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act that all of this is involving in. But you'll have to come back next Tuesday and get more endless horror from the same. DJ Mouse, signing out.